Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Twilight Zone.
You open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be talking Twilight Zone.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. As I said, I'm glad to have everyone with me today. And also, I am glad to have my wonderful co-hosts with me, as always. And I'd like to say hello to Kelly and Ken and Robert and Bobby Neer. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Howdy.
Well, before we... I'm sorry. Oh, hello, Dave. Dave's here. Always good to have Dave here. And today's episode is called The After Hours. And before we start, Robert, would you like to play that clip for us?
And now, Mr. Serling.
Express elevator to the ninth floor of a department store. Carrying Miss Marcia White on a most prosaic, ordinary, run-of-the-mill errand. Miss Marcia White on the ninth floor. Specialties department, looking for a gold thimble. The odds are that she'll find it. But there are even better odds that she'll find something else. Because this isn't just a department store. This happens to be the Twilight Zone.
Thank you, Robert. Yes, this happens to be the Twilight Zone, and this is the After Hours. And it begins with a lovely woman named Marcia enjoying a leisurely day of shopping. She seems to be looking around for something in particular. Now, she sees an elevator open up, and when she looks over, the elevator operator says, "Going up." And even though other people are waiting for the second elevator, only Marcia gets on the open one. So she tells the operator to take her to housewares. He asks her what she's looking for, and she says, "Gold thimbles," because, you know, that's what they have advertised. So he says, "I'll take her to specialties on the ninth floor." The only problem is that when the doors open, she steps out into what looks like an empty floor. She tells him there must be some mistake, but he simply closes the elevator doors and leaves her there. So Marcia starts walking around the area, and suddenly a rather sophisticated-looking saleswoman asks Marcia if she's being helped, which was a sort of strange question since there was nobody else around. But Marcia tells her she wants a gold thimble as a gift for her mother. And lo and behold, the only item for sale on the entire floor is a gold thimble. So Marcia agreed with the saleswoman that it was a lovely item, and she'd buy the 14-carat gold thimble, even though she seemed uneasy and confused from the time she got on the elevator. However, when Marcia told the saleswoman how odd it was that the only thing for sale on the floor was gold thimble, the woman called Marcia by name, and that aroused more suspicion in her. The saleswoman, of course, makes some excuse for this and blows her off by asking if she's happy. She asks Marcia if she's happy. Marcia looks at her with a strange look and says, "Am I happy? That's none of your business." And she gets back on the same elevator and she tells the same operator about her odd experience. She then notices that the thimble is damaged. So the operator tells her to see the complaint department. And the complaint department, of course, is the manager, who finds her story unbelievable since the store does not have a ninth floor. She was asked for her receipt, but she didn't have it. She then spots the woman who waited on her, but she finds that what she sees is only a mannequin, and she faints. She's taken to a couch to rest, but when she wakes, she finds herself trapped in the store until she hears her name being called and she has to be jolted to reality, the reality of which is that she is merely a mannequin on her one-month visit to the outside world. She was a day late getting back, and the woman who waited on her was the mannequin who was to take her next turn on her visit out to the outside world. So Marcia becomes a mannequin again. But they had to jolt her back, all the other mannequins had to jolt her back into reality because she had forgotten she was a mannequin and she had forgotten that her time was up in the outside world. She said she was having such a wonderful time, it just went right past her. But whatever, this was an absolutely outstanding episode. To me, this is a classic episode. One of my all-time favorites. I look forward to this every time the marathons come on. It's one of my favorites to watch, and I love it. Anne Francis was excellent in the role of Marcia. A beautiful woman, a very talented. She just did a great job. And the only I'll tell you, the only thing that really got me with this episode was she said she was getting the gold thimble for her mother. When do mannequins have mothers? I always have to think, like, she had a mother while she was out in the real world. Did she know what this mother looked like? What did she know about this mother? It really was one of the crazy points of the show that she had a mother. And she always looked so upset when she was on the elevator with the elevator operator. He was just telling her that she was on a freight elevator to the ninth floor, and she looked really upset with him, like she didn't trust him or something. I don't know. But I love this episode. I thought it was great, and I will watch it anytime it comes on, and I could watch it a million times. So that's my take on it, and I'm going to send this over to Ken right now. That's okay,
Ken. Lynn.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. I agree. I gave it a 4, excellent rating. I'll tell you, this episode, the formula works. There's a certain formula in the Twilight Zone, and you guys have heard what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the unusual, the strange, the eerie. I don't need to be scared to death every time I watch, but I do want something that is different and something that I can relate to and something that I can think about. And this episode nailed it for me, and I'll tell you why. Because back in the 1960s, I first saw this episode, I remember as a little kid, and when you grow up as an adult, and when it came on the marathon, and it came on, I said, hey, I remember that as a little kid, and it really affected me. And the reason why is the mannequins. And when you're a little kid, you remember mannequins. And Bob, in your review, your story is the same as my story.
Yeah, sure.
Because my mother and my sisters dragged me
right.
on a Saturday morning,
That's
10
right.
o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stay home and, play. I
right.
had to go with my mother and my sister to J.C. Penney's.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another store called Newberry's. I lived in the Los Angeles area. And this store, Newberry's, was just filled with mannequins. And back in the 60s, I was about 6 years old, I remember. You'd go into this Penny's and Newberry's, and there's just mannequins all along where the woman's clothing is.
Mm-hmm.
And as a little kid, you know what the sales girl would say? She would say, hey, little boy, do not touch that mannequin or you've had it. And my parents said, don't touch that mannequin, don't do anything. So I had to wait as my mom and sister would be in the dumb dressing room trying on 50 clothes, and I'm just twiddling my fingers. I'm 6 years old. And what did I do? I just stared at the mannequin. And, you know, Anne Francis and Elizabeth Allen, that was excellent casting by the show. These two look like mannequins. They really do. And the clothes they were wearing, Anne Francis, blonde hair. And I remember as a kid, I just looked at them. And I remember when I saw the Twilight Zone and the mannequins and they came to life, it just hit home with me. And, you know, believe it or not, to this day, when I go into a store, I stare at mannequins. I don't know why. And this is a true story, guys. This morning, what is today's date? August 21st. My wife dragged me to Macy's department store this morning because she was looking for a bathing suit and only Macy's had the type she wanted. So, guys, I was forced to go to Macy's and wait a half hour in the store. And you know what? There were a lot of mannequins in the store, and I was staring at them. And true story. There was this mannequin, there was a man in a chair. I thought it was a mannequin because the guy did not move. He was just completely frozen. And I walked by, and I thought it was a mannequin. And then I was looking around the store, and all of a sudden this guy got up and started walking around. He wasn't a mannequin. He was just sitting there waiting for his wife. And wouldn't that be odd, really? Wouldn't it, if a mannequin did come to life? you know. And this story, as it played out, you know, the end, you know, they're just on vacation, having a good time, and everyone takes turns. You know, to me, that didn't bother me, the ending. But just the whole concept of a mannequin coming to life affected me as a little boy. And today, when I go into the department store, I look at mannequins, you have that wonder. So I gave it an excellent rating. I know Twilight Zone, you know, this episode is not going to scare you if you're on a rainy night, but the episode will affect you if you watch it.
What is wrong with it that stopped you from giving it a 5?
Say that again?
What is wrong with it that stopped you from giving it a 5?
Well, let's
Why
see. Because I would say the ending, maybe they could have had an alternate ending, and maybe the mannequin started turning on the store, and maybe there's an ending that doesn't have an ending. But this ending was kind of a little calmer. Basically, they're just on vacation. So a little let down. You know, a classic ending will be like monsters do on Maple Street. You know, they're running down the street, and the problem is not solved. Time enough at last. You know, Bemis' glasses comes off, and his problem is not solved. He's in misery. But that's the classic ending. Mirror Image, you know, the guy runs off for his double, but he can't catch him. That, you know, there's an unresolved aspect. That's what the classics are to me. This one, I give it an excellent because of the story affecting me and the way it played out, and the acting was excellent. By the way, I'm going to put Anne Francis in my Twilight Zone Hall of Fame for women. So, you know, you guys have heard me, you know, critique how stories are written, how stories are directed, even how the actors are cast. And you've heard a lot of lousy ratings from me. But on this one, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give it an excellent. And yes, I agree, Lynn. If it comes on the marathon, I'm going to tune in just for the sake of looking at those mannequins again and having that wonderment. So I'm going to turn it over now to Kelly. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I just want to say, Ken, I can relate because my mother used to drag me to the store when I was a kid, too, and I absolutely hated it. I am not your typical female who loves to shop because my mother dragged me to the store so much. I learned to hate shopping. But I do remember seeing the mannequins. And one thing that's interesting is that when I go to the store now and I see mannequins, you usually don't see mannequins with faces very often, not like you used to. So that's certainly something that we've seen change over the years. But this episode, I always have liked. I remember the very first time I saw it, I came into it about halfway through. And so I didn't get to see the beginning of how she came into the store. I kind of came in at the final climax where all of the mannequins came up to her and, you know, and basically told her, you're a mannequin and you're one day late from getting back. So I didn't see it from start to finish until several years later on a sci-fi marathon. And I always thought this was a good episode as well. I think it starts out really well. You know, you see this unassuming woman just walking into a department store where all she wants to do is buy a gold thimble. The thing about, you know, Lynn brings up about the idea that the woman had a mother, and I'm kind of thinking that the reason why maybe they went with why she did that was because she forgot she was a mannequin and she kind of just invented a reality for herself. That could very well be, you know, perhaps she saw a photograph of a woman and just because she wanted to be human decided that woman was her mother. One thing that they never really talk about in this episode that I have always wondered about is, what exactly did the mannequins do when they were on vacation? They leave the store. What is it that they use for money, and what exactly are they doing when they're out there? I mean, it might have been kind of interesting to hear just what exactly they do when they go out and be amongst the people. Do they go see movies? Do they go visit the nightclub scene? Do they date people of the opposite sex? what do they do when they're out there? That would have been kind of interesting to know. But the whole thing, that how it all climaxes, I think is very well done. And I gave it a classic rating as well. Because
I'm going to ask the same thing of you. Why not a 5?
What do you mean? I said I gave it a classic rating.
No, you gave it 4 in the poll. I'm looking right at it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess I gave it a 4.
You can change it if you want to.
No. Probably the reason why I gave it an excellent rating is that I think when I give classic ratings, I tend to think about, I think to myself, well, when I think about the show, is this one of the episodes that I think about right away? And, you know, and this is probably one of those episodes that doesn't automatically, you know, grab my attention when I first start thinking of the show. I mean, obviously, when I think of the show, I think of certain episodes, like, of course, everybody thinks of Time Enough at Last and The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. This one kind of maybe just is just slightly underneath those, but not by much. I mean, I'm surprised you're telling me this. I honestly thought I had given it a classic rating, but, you know, there's not that much of a difference between excellent and classic, so it's still, I think, a really, really good episode. So, Robert, what did you think about it?
Oh, I agree with everybody so far. I mean, I really like it. I also, too, give it a classic, and reason being is what's already been mentioned from everybody else. The same thing like Monsters on Due on Maple Street, I give that 4, too. I just felt that this should have had a better ending to it. But other than that, I thought it was creepy and dark, which is a very good Twilight Zone, something I really enjoy. And also, you know, I shared the same thing with Ken and Bobby about the mannequins when I was a kid, too. So, I mean, you know, in different generations, different ages, I think we all share kind of the same thing as well. I think Anne Francis is a wonderful actress. I've seen her on TV for years. She's a great pick. And so did Rob, because she's brought back in season 4. So, like I said, a marvelous actress. I thought what was interesting, and something that also Lynn brought up too, is and also Kelly as well, is what do they do? I mean, what is the story behind the year being a human, and how does the story relate, especially like Lynn said, with the mother, the whole purpose of her going back to the store. Supposedly, it's supposed to be set up where the mannequins are supposed to come back after they have their little vacation, spend the year, and it seems that, I guess, it slipped her memory, or that she came too human to remember. What was fascinating, one of the questions that Lynn asked was, how did, like, for example, the elevator man, how did he stay human-like and not a mannequin when he picked her up in a freight elevator? And I answered the question, well, that's because nobody was looking at him while he was running the elevator. But when she went in there, since she's a mannequin, he is too, they both stayed pretty much human when he took her up there. There's future stories. This is kind of remind me of one. A lot of people will remember was an 80s movie called Mannequin, which had the beautiful Kim Cattrall in it. One of the 80s movies that they came out with, like Pretty in Pink and Breakfast Club and all that. But here's a trailer for Mannequin.
Jonathan Switcher.
On sex.
Loves to talk to his work.
You know, you're the first thing I've created, and then you feel like an artist.
Don't you like your new scarf?
He never expected.
Not especially.
To hear it talk back.
I really think I'm going crazy.
I am so glad you're working here. I never thought they'd hire anyone stranger than me.
You're the only one who can see me like this.
To the rest of the world, he's a disaster.
You're fired.
And she's a dummy. You are one sick puppy. But together.
Hey, don't do that.
You weren't so shy when you were creating me.
You weren't so real.
They make magic.
Look at him with the dummy.
Who are you to criticize?
That new stock boy. I just want you to keep an eye on him for me.
I think I'm going to handle things my own way.
All the girl mannequins disappeared from the windows last night, film at 11. Yes, my dear, your favorite. She is gone too.
Get him!
Mine's bigger than yours is!
Go get him!
your magic.
Keep talking to the dummy again.
Andrew McCarthy, Kim Cattrall.
You know I would never bother you when you're getting a piece of wood.
Mannequin.
And they have all those innuendos in that movie too. They did a follow-up called Mannequin 2, which didn't do so well, and that one was more of a fairy tale twist to where a girl was given a cursed necklace and she was turned into a mannequin, and then years later, but one guy that was from the original played in the sequel. But one thing that always was curious to me too is Stephen Moffat, who is now the producer of Doctor Who, came up with a twist on the idea called Blink, and where he used the Weeping Angels very much like mannequins in a way, where they don't move unless you don't, if you don't look at them, they don't move, but if you look at them or blink, they do move. And here's a trailer for this one.
Where am I?
1969. Not bad as you go. You got the moon landing supporters.
I am very, very sorry. It's up to you now. We've got big problems now. They've taken the blue box, haven't they? The angels have the phone box.
You need to take this. I promised.
Don't turn your back. Don't look away. And don't blink.
You're not looking at the statue.
Even you.
Good luck.
And that one was just a wonderful twist on, like, this story here to where Weeping Angels would take your possible future energy away and you would end up in a different century in a different time. I thought that was a wonderful story. If anybody ever gets a chance to see Blink, it's worth a look. So as I said again, I gave it a 4 out of 5 classic. The ending was disappointing into a sense that the floor manager at the end, and I did like the floor manager, I thought he was pretty good, kind of gives you that little look at the end, which kind of gives almost a little comedy feel at the end. Luckily, they didn't cross it. But all in all, it was pretty good. I'm going to pass it on to Bobby. Bobby?
Thank you very much. Let me start out by saying that Lynn and I gave it a 5, and of course, everybody else has talked and said they gave it a 4. And I do agree with the people who gave it a 4 instead of a 5. It's not really worthy of a 5. In fact, both Lynn and I are wrong because I think it's worthy of a 6 or a 7, to be honest with you, if the poll went that high. Because this belongs up in Twilight Zone history with things like Time Enough at Last and Hitchhiker and stories like that. But it's different in many ways. And let me start out by saying that since everybody who has talked to stole my thunder from my award-winning, fascinating story about being in department stores as a kid, let me say that mannequins never scared me at all. I was much more scared if my mother took me to the 9th floor of being in the elevator than I was of mannequins. The elevator scared the crap out of me, but mannequins did not. But I used to stand out there and actually be convinced that they were not mannequins and that if you just stared at them long enough, they would have to move like the guy did for Ken today, who was actually a real person. So I spent my time simply waiting for them to move. And if you think that mannequins are scary when they're all dressed up and they look like Anne Francis, imagine sometimes you see mannequins that have their arms missing or even their heads missing so that they can only showcase the clothes. That really is scary. So at least in this case, the mannequins look like real people. I have to completely disagree with what's been said about the ending. The fact of the matter is, I think it's the ending that makes the entire story, because Rod Serling could have written this as a horror story, because it almost begs to be written that way. So if you have an ending where Marcia is trapped somehow, and these mannequins have come to life and they want to recruit her or keep her there or turn her into a mannequin, it would have been an interesting story. But that's kind of obvious. And if it ended, Ken says it should have ended like Monsters or Duel Maple Street. But in fact, Monsters or Duel Maple Street did indeed have a resolved ending when we are see that there are aliens that kick the whole thing off and they intend to take over the world by turning us against each other. So there are that was a real ending. Here, I think it would have hurt to have a horror story ending with her running around being unable to escape. What was much more scary to me was when she came to the realization that she really was a mannequin and seemed perfectly content with that. She went, oh, that's right, I'm a mannequin. I mean, that's really scary. And the best thing about this episode is the suspense. It's probably, in my opinion, maybe the most suspenseful story of the entire series. And I agree with Ken, I don't need to be scared, but I do like trick endings. I don't like to figure it out in advance. And I also was a small child when I first saw this, so it wasn't easy to fool me. But even if I saw it today for the first time as an adult, I don't know that I would be able to figure it out. It's very expertly written by Rod Serling. He does not really let you know what is going on. He puts you in the position of Marcia, which is that something's not right, but it doesn't make any sense. Why is it nobody else in the store sees that there's an empty floor, things like that? Either she's hallucinating or something is not right. But I don't think you can really figure out that these are mannequins until they admit it. Even in stories that had great surprise endings like Eye of the Beholder, it was obvious halfway through that something was not right. You saw the doctors and nurses in silhouette on the wall. They obviously were grotesque looking, so it wasn't that big a shock at the end to see what was going on. And time enough at last, you knew that he was going to die at the end. Nobody survives a nuclear war. We didn't think that it was going to turn out like that. And even in The Hitchhiker, one of my all-time favorite episodes, you could figure out after a while that this certainly was death stalking her. This, however, is another story. You can't figure it out. There's really no way to know what is going on. I mean, there must be some people in the country who figured it out, but I wasn't one of them. And that, I think, really makes it at the end. That's the best part about it. So I like the suspenseful part. I agree that the casting is perfect here. Ken has his finger on when he says that the two leads actually look like mannequins. Indeed, they do. And in that final shot where we just see Anne Frances standing there as a mannequin, she really looks like a mannequin. That all of that adds to the story. So I do believe it's one of the best episodes of the series. I can't agree with this business about not quite giving it a 5, because on our poll page it says excellent, falls short of classic, but still very interesting and memorable. I have no idea where this falls short of classic. That's a mystery to me, because I can't find anything wrong with it. It's not boring. It's not slow. It has everything going for it. That's without a doubt. But I just want to say that for me, the ending was perfect. It's scarier to think that she really is a mannequin and that she really did come to life for a while. And now that she's been convinced that she is one, she goes, oh, okay, I'm sorry I stayed out too late. I'm perfectly content to stay in here forever and be a mannequin. That really disturbs me, because it would have been in a Twilight Zone story you would expect. You might expect that she would say, well, no, I'm not coming back. I've seen the outside world now. The hell with you. I'm going to stay where I am. Instead, she just kind of caves in and goes, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot I'm a mannequin. Oh, okay, put me back out on the floor. If that isn't scary, I don't know what is. So, yeah, it's a 5 all the way. It's one of the best episodes of the entire series. Let me give this back to Lynn for a minute. She's having a microphone problem. She's got Sarah's cell phone with me. There you go.
Well, while you're switching, I'm thinking this should have been a way of ending the series, to be honest about it. This would have been good enough to end it with.
Yeah, and, you know, I really think that it was, I know Ken said that it wasn't really a scary, I thought it was a very creepy ending. I thought it was very creepy when you heard all the mannequins calling out her name and everything. I thought it was very creepy. But, you know, to me it was a classic. But, and now let me turn this over. Dave, I know you have some stuff to say.
Oh, I can do, yes, certainly can.
Well,
I hope my audio
always do.
Well, the audio went a bit dippy for me a little bit ago, but if I start sounding funny, let me know and I'll cut it short. But I love the idea. I like Robert playing that little bit of Doctor Who, but I would have actually mentioned one of the enemies of Doctor Who, which was called the Nestine, which were made of living plastic.
Oh, the Autons, yeah.
And we had the Autons where they have shop dummies coming out. Suddenly the dummies all get triggered by a signal and they break through the plate glass of the windows and attack people. But that is not what we're talking about today. I thought it was great. Firstly, I thought Rod Sterling was absolutely brilliant to pitch it as he did, and he used the ninth floor, because the obvious one to go for was floor 13. But if he'd have gone for floor 13, then everybody would have thought, hang on a minute, that's you know, too obvious. So it's floor 9, so we're not immediately aware, as Bobby said, we're not immediately aware that there's anything too strange going on. The girl was perfectly pitched in terms of her way that she reacted to all that went on about her. If there was any slightly less than perfect note on the whole thing, was the fact that when she'd fallen asleep, that they'd just left her there sleeping in the shop. Which, you know, duty of care and the way people, litigation in the States, leaving somebody in the shop floor asleep unattended, they just wouldn't do it. So I was a little bit surprised when she came to that she'd been abandoned in the shop. But, of course, that was required to make the story go to the final part. I loved, you know, the way it was done. Very slow-paced. I mean, it was almost... very short of dialogue in the scene where she was buying the thimble. I mean, you've got to give real credit to the actors and actresses, because to hold those sort of long silences without it feeling dragged was brilliantly done. And again, the casting, they all had those perfect faces that you could imagine being mannequins. To me, mannequins are not that scary. I always thought that clowns were scary. That was the thing that always frightened me. And one other little point, if I was going to be picky, and I don't really want to be, because I did really enjoy this episode, and that is the fact that the girl is one day late. Well, to my mind, in that sort of a storyline, I would have it that the mannequins only came to life one day a month. And of course, this is a day late, so it doesn't quite ring true that all the mannequins come to life when she comes into the store. Because do they come to life because she's in the store with them? I would have thought it was like, you know, let's say the full night of the full moon was the night that they all came to life. And since she's a day late, I could understand the one whose turn it was, the shopkeeper one, being awake. But I would have expected all the others to have, you know, come awake the night before when she was due and gone back into their repose.
But or they might just move around when nobody's watching at night too, so...
Yeah, well, no, that's what I thought, Robert. But what happened, if you remember, as soon as the girl whose turn it was went through the doors of the lift, within about 5 minutes, the chap said to her, "Are you all right?" She said, "All right." They both struck the pose. You know, it's not as though they're all cavorting around upstairs on floor 9 every night of the week. They literally froze as soon as she left the building. So, but I don't really want to be nitpicky, because I thought it was excellent. Yeah, 5 out of whatever. Excellent.
Yeah, okay. I think mannequins are kind of a dying breed, because you don't... Do they still use them over there? I think a lot of them are going with just the basic displays where they don't have the heads, or they have a frame that they use to put clothing on.
I'm not the sort of person that goes in avant-garde stores like that, but lots of them do. One last thing. I actually thought it was quite good, the comic turn of the chap at the end, you know, the double take he does, because for him, it hasn't been a frightening experience. He's completely oblivious to what we've seen.
Oh, that was a great expression on his face, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
To that, Already Being Served never did an episode like that. Yeah. That would have been great.
But I don't think his comedy element detracted from it, because that was his take on what had happened. You know,
yeah.
But it was quite spooky for us, I thought.
I thought it was a great episode. I really did. It's probably one of the best of the whole series. So, does anybody else have anything to add to this?
Yes, Lynn, can I say something?
You sure can.
Can we turn Brad Pitt into a mannequin and be done with him? I'm tired of him on every magazine cover in the store. I'm tired of it.
Well, it's like I said, he and Angelina have to adopt 50 more kids first, you know. They've got to adopt one from every country.
I've been watching your texts. It looks like you guys have been having a good conversation there.
Yeah, we're picking on them. You know,
I was thinking of which actors and actresses would be good for mannequins to put into the Macy's store and just keep
Paris Hilton. Only Paris Hilton would make the best one. That woman never changes her expression. Every single picture you see of her, she has the same expression on her face, the exact same smile. Never changes.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan. Why don't we lock her up in prison forever?
I've had enough of her, too.
Actually, there's a song out by Katy Perry called Mannequin. So.
Oh, is there really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I hadn't heard it. I'll have to listen to it.
We could have played that for the show. Well, anyway, I'm just glad that everybody's basically in consensus here, that we all love this episode. And I am not even sure what our next one is going to be. What are we doing?
The Mighty Casey.
Yeah, we're doing Casey in 2 weeks.
This is to Rick Wall. Rick Wall, come in to your next show because he had a disagreement on my review on The Mighty Casey. So.
Oh, really? Oh, well, we have to get him. If you have his email, you should email him and tell him to come in.
See what we
That'd
do.
That'd be great. All right, folks. Well, I think we've done a great job discussing this episode. And we will see you 2 weeks from now for The Mighty Casey. And I want to thank everyone for being here. And I especially want to thank Robert for taking over of playing our intro and outro music while I'm working through my problems here with my computer, including losing my microphone a little while ago. So
hopefully you'll be able to get rid of those gremlins.
I sure hope so. I'm in the twilight zone, that's for sure. Well, thanks, everybody, for being here, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.